Hello and welcome to ADHD Mums. You know when someone says, you're too soft. If that was my kid, they wouldn't get away with it. You just need to be stricter. You need to show them who's boss. If you've ever heard that from family, friends, teachers, the random bloke at Bunnings, this is the episode for you. But it's not because you're too soft, it's because you're parenting a dysregulated nervous system. This is not necessarily a defiant or a disobedient or a badly behaved child. My opinion is that the discipline myth is probably the most exhausting myth that ADHD parents face. It's the myth that if you were firmer, more consistent, less permissive, your child would just behave and everything would be okay because it's your fault as a parent. But the research shows us that this isn't about a child misbehaving because ADHD is not a behavioral disorder. We know it's a developmental delay in self-regulation specifically. So, does punishment teach the missing skills or the delayed skills in self-regulation? Because I would argue that punishment teaches shame. And shame is the one emotion you really want to avoid your child feeling. If you want to know a little bit more about shame, go back to the quick reset ADHD myth, you just need to try harder. And I go into a little bit more depth around shame versus guilt and how that can affect the self-esteem of a child and as a late diagnosed adult who's gone through some of those shame feelings. Okay, so let's strip this back. Sometimes people that believe that kids with ADHD need to have more discipline or it's a behavioral issue is because actually the deep belief in there is that ADHD isn't real. And, you know, where we as parents are using it as an excuse because we're too lazy to parent them properly and show them discipline. However, there are studies, and I'll put this in the show notes, that ADHD brains actually look different on MRIs. Brain scans back up ADHD. If you look at a brain of a child or an adult with ADHD, there is a difference, particularly with children. If you take a neurotypical child's brain and an ADHD child's brain, there is a difference just in brain volume to start with, the size of it. Plus, particularly in areas of executive function, attention, emotional regulation. All of this is in the show notes. So physiologically, let me just start with that the brain looks different. People say, oh, you can't diagnose ADHD. It's hard off a questionnaire. Yeah, but actually, if you brain scanned everybody, you could actually see it. If you were to take a neurotypical child's brain and a neurodivergent child's brain and use the same parenting, they would react differently because they have a different brain. So, for example, in an ADHD brain, the prefrontal cortex, which is basically the self-control center, really has lowered activity and it matures later. So, for example, if you're saying don't touch that, don't run, and you have a child that's repeatedly doing what you've asked them not to do, yes, to an older relative, it may look like disobedience. Maybe it does look like they need a smack across the face or whatever it was that Grandpa John had done to him, which might be the reason why he's emotionally stunted. But maybe that is true, that it looks like disobedience. It probably does, particularly to the older generation or to our generation now. It may look like that. However, studies, which I'll put in the show notes, show less activations in this impulse control region. Again, highlighting why there are a lot of neurodivergent people in addiction rehabilitation centers, in jail, that have done things possibly impulsively and ended up in trouble. Following an impulse when you want to do something doesn't always end well, particularly for a teenage boy who may make decisions around stealing cars, speeding, drink driving. It can be a real issue. Their brain is going to struggle to pause, think, predict, and then change. That is science. It is in the show notes. It's really important to note here that punishing a child doesn't actually teach them the missing skills they need. And that is backed again by research. So traditional systems like detentions, reward charts, exclusion, suspension often result in a worsening behavior and internalized shame, which can lead to more non-desirable behavior. And then we get the children labeled as naughty, bad, can't learn, and we wonder why they continue to perpetuate that when that's the label that we have given them or the school has given them. If we have a look at Barclay, and I'll put this in the show notes, he consistently shows that ADHD kids benefit from support, positive reinforcement, and actually skills coaching. If your child is developmentally delayed, which they are if they have ADHD, by up to 3 years, which the research shows, and you are constantly holding them to an age-appropriate behavior that you think they should be able to do, but you punish them if they can't do it instead of helping them build the skill, don't be surprised if they continue doing the behavior that you don't want them to do. So we actually found in 2021 that there was a big study, and it found that punishment is actually associated with an increase in oppositional behavior, so like defiance. And proactive positive strategies actually reduced aggression and the disruptions at school. That is research. The other thing is as well, I want to go over the myth around, but you did it yesterday, so why can't you do it today? So what looks like inconsistent effort, perhaps by the child or by the adult, can actually just go straight back to fluctuating capacity. So for example, think about yourself. Are you perfect every day? Do you do the same thing every day? Do you do it to the same standard every day? Do you have bad days? Do you have good days? Some days I'm on it. Some days I'm terrible. If I had someone over the top of me every day saying, why aren't you doing it to this level? But that's my 100%. Like, I can't do that every day. It depends on my energy, how tired I am, what's going on. Kids are the same, right? They may cope one day, then they may not be able to do it the next day. Some people think that's manipulation. But think about if you have ADHD as well, that actually can just be fluctuating capacity. So continuing to hold them to the standard of something they did one time is going to set them up for failure. That kind of inflexible parenting really can increase the cortisol. Then it creates shame, which actually worsens executive function. It can also make them really emotionally dysregulated. So having a relative or somebody say, well, why could they do it yesterday and not today? Actually, that completely makes sense if your child is diagnosed with ADHD. I'd be shocked if they had the same capacity every day. The next myth that I often see listed in the Facebook group is around a family member, somebody saying, you're being too soft, you need to discipline harder. They need to know who's boss. This seems like it probably would be an older relative, but you'd be surprised. A lot of people are parenting from a space of what they know. Now, it's not that our parents were malicious. It's just that I think they didn't know better. When we are meeting needs, we are not permitting behavior. We are not doing gentle parenting necessarily. Kids need boundaries. I'm all about that. But we know that ADHD kids are going to respond better to connection than control. The goal isn't obedience. It's safety, self-awareness, and self-regulation. We are building skills so those children can grow up and move out of home and be functioning adults. But when I say that, I don't mean forcing a seven-year-old to get dressed in the morning and pack their own lunch, because just remember, they're seven, they're not 21. But I mean around having tools around regulating their own emotions, understanding what makes them feel good, connecting with others, and growing self-esteem, for example. Now, we know that if we do that, you actually will get children who intrinsically want to be connected with you, want to be close with you, and you will get a result long-term. It's actually easier short-term to just threaten, punish, take iPads, whatever it is. It's easier short-term. But the problem is it doesn't work. And that's why I think you're listening. If it worked, everybody would still be doing it. It actually doesn't work. And this view is not my personal opinion. This is backed by research. Dr. Ross Green has this great model, which is built on the idea that kids do well if they can, not if they're scared into compliance. That can work short term, and it may have a place in your parenting. However, connected, needs-based approaches do reduce the outburst and create that really long-term connection. So I just want to imagine for a moment that you have somebody that says they just need a firmer hand and they're in your family. Why don't you ask them this next time? Would you punish a child for not hearing properly? Or would you actually just check their hearing? Why are we punishing a kid who struggles to self-regulate? So I'll give you a personal example. One of my children the other day, when we were playing handball, picked up a pool chair and threw it into the pool and screamed, "I hate you," and ran off. Now, I was actually shocked. That was a big outburst. And I could see if I had a family member or somebody there that someone might say, that child needs a firm hand. They need to know who's boss. But I saw a child in sensory overload. I saw a nervous system on red alert. I saw a complete meltdown because something didn't happen the way he wanted it to happen and he couldn't handle it. because every day for him, things happen that he doesn't see happening that way. And I saw that coming because he says yes all day, even if he's not okay with things. And when his brother said, I'm going to be an ace, he just lost it. He couldn't be okay with it. And he just couldn't hold it in. So what can we actually do? Your child, they do need consistent signals of safety. I'm here, calm tone. I wouldn't go with or else threats. However, some calm boundaries and family rules really go a long way. I've got some great episodes with Jen Muir on boundary setting. If you go into the show notes, I'm happy to put them in. I would also look at co-regulation. So instead of just yelling at them, calm down, take a breath. Like, I mean, think about it. If you're really upset and someone just starts saying, calm down, go for a walk. Like, that has never worked. When someone says to me, calm down, and I'm really upset, I just get so angry. But validate how they feel. Say something like, I can see you're overwhelmed. I've got you. We're going to figure this out, and stay with them. If you are after some really specific parenting advice, I would really recommend following some reputable people in the ADHD space. I'm happy to put links to them into the show notes. But what I did want to do was bust the myth that ADHD kids need a firmer hand. So let's just say you have a conversation with somebody and you list some of the research that I've given you in this episode. And the person comes back with, the family member or whoever it is, comes back with something like, well, I actually read this article that said ADHD is overdiagnosed and it's just bad parenting. Let's just say that you have a relative that says that. I would say straight away, look, that sounds like more like an opinion piece than a peer-reviewed study. Do you know who wrote it or where it was published? Because a lot of this stuff online isn't necessarily evidence-based. You could say something like, a study means it was published in a peer-reviewed medical or psychology journal with ethics approval, a control group, statistical analysis. Anybody can put an article online. And then again, bring up the science. If you actually look at neuroscience and imaging studies, they actually show the structural and developmental differences in the brain in pictures. This is an opinion, that's fact. It's measurable. I'm happy to send it to you. So you could let them know in as kind a way as you can that reading an article online isn't actually the same as a scientific study. It's kind of like comparing a TikTok workout to like a physiotherapy program. One's like clickbait and the other is evidence. So just because someone read an article about gluten or sugar or parenting, whatever it is, doesn't mean it's true. So you're not permissive and you are a great mum. If you're listening to this podcast, you're a great mum who loves their child. You're protective and you're definitely not weak. You're brave enough to choose the road where understanding, not punishment, is the starting point. And some of these people with these beliefs who talk about back in my day, I would maybe have a look at the mental health crisis that Australia is in at the moment. Because we need to do something different. If we had a really regulated, great, mentally healthy population in Australia, maybe some of the old ways do work. However, what we actually know is that what we have been doing doesn't work, which is why we're trying to do something different. This is where we are choosing understanding, not punishment, and choosing connection. Still 100% with boundaries. This is not about being a gentle parent or doing low demand or letting your child do whatever you want. This is about having boundaries and building their self-esteem in ways that they can actually achieve rather than continuing to hold up a neurotypical standard and ask why they are not meeting that standard. That's your quick reset, and you've already started just by listening. You don't need to push harder. You just need to feel safer. I will be right here next time you need a reset. Thank you so much for listening. If you've loved this episode, check out in the show notes the related episodes. Follow the podcast, share it with a friend, or leave me a review. I read all of them. Thank you so much for listening. See you next week.